wake up to a dawn that whispers hope. Chasing dreams with heart and scope. Unique, it guides us through the strife. Building blocks of a better life. Money flows like river.
Welcome back to The Blueprint. I'm your host and career coach, Unique. If you tuned in last week, you know we dove deep into the importance of budgeting and saving with personal finance coach, Ashley Thomas. Today, we're taking it one step further by talking about credit cards, the benefits and the potential pitfalls. Whether you're new to credit cards or looking to get a better handle on your debt, this episode has you covered. So let's jump right in. Welcome back, Ashley.
Thank you for having me again, Unique.
It's good to be here. It's great to have you again. Let's get started. So last week we had a great conversation around budgeting and savings. And guys, if you have not yet listened to it, I encourage you to go and take a listen, because there was some great information, some great gems that was dropped. Ashley came ready. So just for this week's listeners, can you give us a quick recap of some of the things that we talked about as it relates to budgeting and savings?
Yeah, just the importance of making sure that you have a budget, that you understand what you want to do, that your budget actually reflects your priorities, and that you're not looking at budgeting as something that is trying to restrict you or prevent you from living your life. It's really based on what's important to you and what you're including in your budget, and making sure that your money mindset is together.
You hear that? So I know some of us, we are saving, we are budgeting, but we also want to include a credit card in the mix. So for someone just starting to build credit, what are some of the tips for choosing the right credit card? Like, I know there is the reward card, the balance transfer card. There is also the secure card. Can you give us a brief overview of what these cards are, and when choosing the right card, how do we factor in some of these things?
Yeah, I think starting with a secure card is a great place. So a secured card means that you don't have enough credit for a credit card company to say that they can give you a card. And so typically you have to, let's say your credit limit is $300, you are sending in $300. And then you have secured your credit card with cash. And so now that they have this money, you have this limit, you are spending it, but you're paying that card back as normal. Reward cards offer you a reward for using it. It could be points, it could be miles, it could be cash back. Balance transfers are typically an offer with a credit card where you have the ability to take a balance from another type of debt and put it onto that card for a promotional interest rate for that period. And you do typically pay a fee unless there's no balance transfer. And most credit cards, if they're not specifically secured, they're unsecured credit cards. I think, was that all of the types you mentioned?
Yeah. So reward cards, balance transfer, secured. Yep. That's all three that we oftentimes hear about. There are probably more, but those are the top three that individuals use on a daily basis. All right. Perfect. So now that we know that there are different types of credit card, you have the one that you secure with cash. You have the one that you get rewards whenever you use it. And then you have the type of credit cards that allow you to transfer balance from one credit card to another. As it relates to APR, how does APR work when it comes down to using your credit cards?
Yeah, so your credit score will help determine the APR that you're getting. So your credit score is what's going to tell the credit card companies or any lender the type of risk that you are as a borrower. The higher your credit score, the better you look to lend money to. And so if you have a higher credit score, you're able to secure a lower interest rate. But like right now, we're in an inflationary period. So everyone's interest rates are relatively high. So seeing double-digit interest rates is not unusual this time of year. It could be that, you know, like with your credit score, you're getting an 18% credit rate APR, but someone that doesn't have a really great credit score, maybe they are at 35% or 25%. And so the APR is going to vary just based on how your credit score is. But as it relates to your balance, what they do is they take your APR, and if you divide it over 31 or 30 days, however many days are in your billing cycle for your credit card, that's going to tell you the interest that you're being charged on a daily basis. So whatever your credit card limit is or your balance is at that time, let's say your balance is $100. There's 30 days in your billing cycle. And so they look at your balance, they take your APR that has been divided over the 30 days, and they charge you every single day that your you have a balance. And then at the end of the month, they total up how much your balance, your daily interest rate is. And then that's the interest that you pay for the month. So last week we talked about making biweekly payments on your credit card. If you can reduce your average daily balance that you have on your account, it's going to reduce the amount of interest that you're paying, because it's not the same balance to have the same amount of interest.
Okay. That's good information. So guys, the key here, don't wait until the end of the month to pay on your credit card.
Absolutely.
If you have the money, pay bi-weekly, as she said, or even weekly if you have it, if you get paid on a weekly basis, just go
Absolutely.
Ahead. And... Perfect. Because then the interest is being added on a per day basis based on the balance.
Exactly.
Awesome. All right. That's great. But you mentioned credit score. In Jamaica, for my Jamaican listeners, back in the days when I was there, we didn't focus heavily on credit score. Yeah. Now that I'm living in America, it's all about credit score. I've often seen the debates like, hey, is it better to have a lot of money in the bank versus have a great credit score in America? So what is credit score, and how does it impact or affect an individual living here?
Yeah, so your credit, I mean, at the end of the day, like, cash is ultimately king. If you can walk into a situation with the cash to do a purchase, most people are hands down going to work with you. And it's not going to matter what your credit score is. But your credit score really takes a look at how you are managing the money that others have given you the opportunity to use. Right. And so your credit score is composed of five components. You have how often you're applying for new credit. That's 10% of your score. 10% is also the types of credit that you have. So if you have secured or unsecured, if you have loans, those types of things. 15% is the length of your credit history. How long have you had credit? And then we jump into like the movers and shakers of our credit score. So 30% is the amount that you owe on those cards. And then 35% is if you are making your on-time payments. So just between the amount that you owe and if you are paying on time, that's about two-thirds of your credit score right there. And so if nothing more, we want to make sure that we are paying our cards on time and that we're keeping our balances in a position where they're not negatively impacting our credit.
Okay.
And so that number is... 30%. Like that's once we are using more than 30% of our credit limits, we're now looking like we're overextending ourselves.
Okay.
So if your credit balance, if your credit limit is, let's say, $1,000, anything over $300 that you owe is negatively impacting your credit score. Ideally, you're paying off your credit every single month or you're not holding a balance. So anything under double digits is ideal if you're going to have a balance, if you're in a position where you're trying to pay down debt or like, how do I get to the best spot possible for where I am right now? The goal is to get to 30% utilization on all of your cards and then tackle the balances from there.
Wow. Okay. So it's important to pay off the credit cards as soon as possible, but also just understanding how the credit score is calculated. One of the things that I saw, so when I first came to America in 2008, I applied for credit. I was only on a work permit at that time because I was living in Jamaica, and I got the opportunity to come here to work for the summer while I was in college. I took an opportunity to open a credit card. And then a lot of my friends, because we came here, it was like maybe 50 of us. And a lot of them, once we left America during that time and went back home, they basically closed out that credit card because they stopped using it. I always knew I was going to end up in America. So for me, I was like, you know what? I'm going to keep this credit card open. If it means I'm going to buy stuff and pay it back, that's what I'm going to do. So right now, I realize that credit card is carrying a lot of the weight for my credit score because it's the longest credit card that I have. It's the longest line of credit that I have.
Yeah.
So speak a little bit about having long length of credit. How does that factor in?
Yeah, so the length of your credit history, even though like that's not a major component of it, it's only 15% of the score, but it's still something that they're going to look back on, like how responsibly have you managed this credit? And so, you know, like having it, and especially like if you're thinking about authorized users or adding someone to your account, because you want them to be able to establish credit, like having that length is going to be really important because how you have managed that card over your history is going to carry over to them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like you just want it to be good. You don't want to be in a position because even when you look back on things, you know, some things absolutely fall off your credit, but you can see how you've managed that credit over the life of you. And like thinking about it from the concept of if I lended someone money, I would want them to pay me back on time. I would want timely payments.
Yeah.
You know, you have to think of credit that way. It's not something that everyone can get.
Right.
You have to meet some criteria in order for you to get that. And so treating it with respect is really important.
Facts. Guys, you have to treat it with respect. Just think about it as you came over and you borrowed money from Ashley. And you told her that you're going to be giving it back to her in a month, and you did not. So Ashley ain't going to be that happy. So they have to put
money. Yeah, I don't even loan money. I know myself. That's already one of my hard boundaries. I don't loan money because I look at it so differently than most of the people in my life. So
yeah.
I don't even want to get my feelings hurt.
I have actually lost friends over my own money. Like
yeah.
I have loan money, and because I asked for it, then you know what? Take it, and leave me alone, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's really disappointing. You know, I think like one of the things that you know when you really look at money and like what it is, like we talked about before, like if you don't do anything with that money, it's not going to do anything. I think people in general have audacity and expectations, you know, like you give me this money and that's it. But like, you're an adult, you have your own responsibilities. I'm giving this to you because I can. I'm not required to. And
right.
And like having respect for someone taking from their own pocket, whether you feel like they need it or not, is it has no bearing in the equation. Like someone gave to you something that they had, and there's a level of respect and honesty that comes with that, if nothing more, just for the relationship that you have with that person.
Right. And just communicate. I mean,
that's it. Let me know it's not going to be on time. You're not going to have it on the first. You'll have it on the 15th. I can understand that. Being proactive around money, especially in relationships, is just so important. But, you know, like people don't want to have conversations around money. People don't want to talk about the things that come up with it and the positions that they're in. And it makes things very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I understand to an extent, because I'm not like that. I understand why they don't do it because of the embarrassment. But, you know, people are going to be people. And guys, if you borrow money from someone, don't take it for granted. Try to communicate.
Absolutely.
Back on time. So it's the same thing with the banks. They penalize you for taking their money and not paying it back.
Yes.
Another thing that we see is, okay, you take $1,000, and of course, the intention should be to pay it back as soon as possible. But instead, you find yourself saying, you know what? They require only $15 a month. I'm just going to pay the minimum balance. I'm not going to pay everything off. I'm just going to continue to pay that little small portion. But you're carrying that long debt.
Absolutely.
How does it impact overall balance and what they use from the credit card? How does it affect it?
Yeah, you know, I think like what people don't understand is like, you want freedom around your money, and freedom is not minimum payments. There's not, and so like if you actually do the exercise of like taking your APR, keeping track of your balance every day on your credit card, mm-hmm. like you'll see the majority of the payment that you're making towards your credit cards is just interest.
Yeah.
It's beneficial for us to pay off our balances on time. One of the things that really frustrates me the most is when people take advantage of those promotional things like buy your complete living room set and no mm-hmm. payments, and then 0% APR for 36 months. And people are like, oh, I have all this time and I'll make the minimum payments.
Yeah.
Not thinking about like life is going to happen.
Yeah.
Just because you got this new living room set or this bedroom set does not stop life from being like, oh, well, you know, we know you have these 3 years. You're trying to pay this off. We won't send any emergencies.
Yeah.
Things are still going to happen and you have to plan for that. Like in those instances, I like to think about, okay, if my minimum payment is $80, mm-hmm. what is the amount that I actually can afford to pay? And what is the amount of time that I actually want to do this? Like I always, and I take advantage of, I'm doing that for my sofa right now, right? Like I got my sofa from Haverty's in I think February or March, and I have 3 years to pay it off.
Yeah.
It's going to be paid off next year. You know, all things remain constant, it'll be paid off next year. But yeah. I approach it from the concept of like, how much can I actually afford to put towards this? Because I know what it feels like to only have minimum payments.
Right.
And those minimum payments are hundreds of dollars. And now you can't do with your money what you want to because, oh, well, you know, I'll just put it on my credit card. It'll only be a couple of dollars.
Right.
No, you deserve more than that for yourself and your money and your time.
Yes.
I don't know if that addressed your question.
It does. It did. It did address it. All right. So we also see where banks, like I just put quite a number of envelopes in the trash this morning. So we see where they send out all these mails with credit card offer and hey, get this credit card. So
yeah.
For a pre-qualified credit card, if an individual takes advantage of all of these offers, how does that affect them?
Oh yeah, that's going to negatively impact you. So when you apply for credit, and it's a hard inquiry, meaning they're going to pull your credit and look at everything, it takes 2 years for those to fall off. And so this is not something that's just sitting on your report that one time and then you're done. If you are constantly applying for new credit, you're putting yourself in a position where you're showing people like, I want credit. And then it's going to become like, why do you need so much credit? Why are you applying for credit cards every single month? Mm-hmm. What's going on with your finances that has you in that position? And so applying for credit should be something that is strategic. It's not something that you should be doing every single time. When you're talking about car loans or mortgages, there's a window where you can be shopping for things and it doesn't negatively impact you. I think for cars, it's like 14 to 30 days. For mortgages, it's I think it's also like the 30 days,
mm-hmm.
but that's your time to shop around for those. For credit cards, it's not the same. You don't want things that are going to negatively impact your credit. And constantly applying for credit is a no-go. Like I personally, my credit is frozen. It stays frozen. The only reason I'm ever unlocking it is if I know I am absolutely going to apply for credit Or okay. I need that for a credit check. Like I had to unlock my credit in order for me to get a company card. I'll do it in that instance. But like outside of that, my credit stays frozen.
Wow. Okay. So opening credit cards affects us. What
yes.
if you have like 3 to 5 credit cards that you do not use? You never even activated them, some of them, or you've activated it, but you're not really using it. If they choose to close those credit cards, does it increase their credit score or will it impact it in a negative way?
Yeah, it will negatively impact your credit score, right? Because it's so overall, if you have 5 credit cards and those balances are, let's say, $2,000, your overall credit extended to you is $10,000.
Okay.
And so when you are talking about if you owe, let's say, $1,000 overall, mm-hmm. that's 10% utilization on your credit. Now, okay. they take away, let's say 2 of those cards get closed. You're at $8,000. You owe that $1,000. It looks like you're using more of your credit overall because you have less credit that is extended over. So yeah. It's not just about the individual card. It's also how it looks overall, because okay. those are things that we can be strategic around. You know, like for people that are trying to get out of debt, credit card debt, like I ask them, do you trust yourself? Because
yeah.
part of what you can do is be requesting increased credit limits if you're trying to pay down your debt. It sounds counterintuitive, but yeah. if you are maxed out on the majority of your cards and your utilization is at, let's say, 90% for all of the credit cards that you owe, and
yeah.
you can gradually just start getting more credit, that utilization might drop down to 75% or 60% because the overall credit is expanding.
Okay.
And so you have to think about, like, do I actually need this credit? Is there a reason that I'm trying to get this card? And what's the reason? How is it going to benefit me? It has to be more beneficial than you yeah. just wanting it because, oh, I can get cash back. Okay, you can get a cash back debit account. Like, Discover offers a cash back checking account where you use your debit card, you're going to get cash back. It doesn't
yeah.
have to be a credit card. So there has to be a reason and a purpose why you're doing that.
Okay. So you mentioned the cash back. So I want to dive a little bit into what the rewards look like. So we can get cash back. We can get travel points. I think some give grocery. I'm not exactly sure. But you also get purchase protection. Can you speak a little bit to each one of those points for me?
Yeah. So I think like there's a lot of different cards out there. There are the cashback cards where you spend a certain amount and they give you 1% cashback, 2% cashback on your purchases. Some of those it'll roll directly into like a separate account that holds it. Other times it'll be an amount that's credited to your statement.
Yeah.
You could be getting points and it varies across categories. In 1 month you might get 6% points on, you know, what you spend on groceries. And the next month, it could be 2. You could be looking at earning miles or points for a specific hotel carrier. It could be that you are getting another type of reward. And so rewards can absolutely be beneficial if that's something that you're looking for. If you're someone who really enjoys traveling and you want to utilize that, there should be a plan for it. It shouldn't be that you're just charging everything and not paying it.
Okay.
You know, like when you are using a credit card, you should be treating it like you're going to replace that money. It's
yeah.
not just for you to use it. But then when we're talking about balance transfer cards, you know, that's really when you're looking to start decreasing debt. You're trying to take advantage of a lower APR, something that's more beneficial for that promotion period that you can really be utilizing. Credit cards do offer protection. You know, that's one great thing about using them for purchases or travel, knowing that you have that built in with My American Express. I automatically get rental car coverage. I have to decline it at the rental car company, but American Express is going to charge me $26 in order for me to have that. And so, but that means that you have to understand your perks. You have to understand all that it entails. And if you're not doing that research, then you're not really getting a credit card responsibly because you don't know all of the benefits and the perks that you have. And so some of them, you have to activate those rewards. I've gotten Sam's Club memberships for friends for free because my American Express, buy a card, buy a membership on your card and you get it for free. Like all of these things, but you have to know what the rewards are, what's required of them, how they are assessed or how you utilize those benefits in order for you to truly take advantage of them.
That's good. So when it comes down to balance transfer versus taking out a loan to pay off your credit card, because I think if you have, let's say, 5 credit cards and you have a balance in each one of them and the interest is starting to accumulate, you may start to think, how can I get this all in one account so that I'm only paying back that one as opposed to 5 different places? Some people will take out a loan. Some people will find a credit card that offers balance transfer. What's the best approach and what are some of the things to consider when looking into that?
So best approach depends on the person. If you're comfortable making those payments, I say stick with it. If you need to roll it into one, that also makes sense. I've done both. I did terribly with getting a personal loan. And so the one consideration I would tell anyone before they do a balance transfer, whether that's to a loan or to a credit card, two things you need to think about. One, what do credit cards mean to you? And like, how did you get in this position? Because you didn't just get in this position because, oh, I had a credit card and I used it for the things that I needed. You either used that card and didn't pay it back. You didn't pay back enough. Or you use this card knowing that you didn't have enough money, but you wanted access to the money. And so like you have to reconcile how you got in that position. But then two, you have to be prepared to see your cards at a zero balance and know that you won't drive those cards back up. So the first time I attempted to get out of credit card debt, I did a loan. I used it, I paid off my cards, and I was like, oh wait, I got all this money now on my credit card. And I ran my balances back up. And I was right back where I was. And so if you are not paying attention to how you got in credit card debt in the first place, and if you're not prepared to see zero balances, it doesn't matter what method you use, you're going to be right back in the same position because you haven't gotten to the root of the issue.
You're right.
And it's not the credit card. It's something that you have to tackle. But then from there, it becomes about what's going to allow you to be most strategic. My last round where I was successful in paying off my credit card debt, I used balance transfers with credit cards. And I was able to do that because I think about the 30%. So even when you're getting a new card, let's say you're going to get a new card, well, then you can only utilize 30% of that credit limit, right? Like you should not be just taking all of your balances from one card to the next card. It's going to take it off of that card and that'll look good. But what's going to negatively impact your credit is now that you have this new credit, you're maxed out already. Right. It is really a game of strategy. And so if you're going to be moving balances, get it to 30% on the next card. But is there another card that you're interested in applying for? Then it needs to be in that short window. It needs to only be those two. If you're going to do the personal loan, then so be it. But remember, those balances are going to go to zero. And then you need to go ahead and put yourself in a position where you are paying off that card in that time, that you are putting extra money towards that. And it's not just about, oh, well, I'm trying to pay down my debt. It's about recognizing what got you there in the first place.
Right. That's very insightful. So thank you for sharing that. Last week, we spoke about a lot of the saving habits and budgeting habits have to do with the mindset, right?
Yes.
So credit card is no different.
Absolutely.
There are people who completely avoid credit card because of the mindset that they have towards credit mm-hmm. card. And there are those who see credit card as a way to get more from the credit card companies, because not only are you purchasing stuff, you're also getting these benefits. I've accumulated over $1,000 at once, where I'm like, oh, I can use this to buy a plane ticket. So there are benefits in using it.
Absolutely.
And some people actually take the credit card for that main reason of saying, you know what, I'm going to use my credit card to buy every single thing that I have to buy, even though I have the money to pay for it. I'm just going to use the credit card and then transfer the money over. Use it, transfer the money over, so that there's never a balance.
Right.
What do you have to say to those people with a mindset towards credit card on how to make better decisions as it relates to moving forward with credit card?
Yeah, I think it's about like finding that balance.
Yeah,
it really comes down to like knowing yourself and knowing how you are. And so if it's the bigger things where you know you'll pay that back,
yeah,
charge the bigger things. You don't have to charge everything to the credit card.
Okay.
It doesn't make sense, right? Like, you have to do what works best for you. That's going to put you in a position where you're reducing or keeping your balance low. If that means that you aren't keeping the credit cards in your wallet,
yeah,
so be it. If it means that you're only carrying one credit card, so be it. Like, I have probably 12 or 13 credit cards, and I'm using less than 1% on one of my cards. Like, it really comes down to, when I was really, really disciplined, I was looking at what my perks were for the month, where would I get cash back? And then I would have that on a sticky note in my wallet. And that's how I would use my cards. You know, now it's kind of like, who has the best promotion? Like, my Sears card, mm-hmm. I don't shop at Sears. I haven't bought appliances from Sears in years, but they have a promotion right now. If you have $575 purchases, they'll give you a $50 statement credit. I'm going to spend that going to the grocery store. Why would I not get $50 back? That's less money out of my pocket. And so it's about, how can I be strategic about the things that I'm going to use this card for? And so if you want to use that card responsibly, use it responsibly. Use it for the things that you know you're going to have to pay back. Like, if it makes sense, like if you need to do your car insurance and you know that you're absolutely going to pay that back, do it for that. But if you know, if I use this card to eat out, I'm probably going to eat out 15, 20 times in a month. I'm easily going to rack up, even if it's just $10, that's $200, $250 right there that you're not even thinking about. So, like, have a plan. Always have a plan. Don't go into it blindly. What are you using this for and why? How can you use it responsibly?
Yes. And one of the things that people do a lot is impulsive purchase. The credit card you mentioned, do not keep it in your wallet. So if you have it in your wallet and you see something and you're like, I don't have the money in my account right now, but guess what? I have a credit card. So I can get it later on. What would you say to people to avoid impulsive purchasing?
I would ask them, what is the cost of the thing? You know, we really get disconnected for how much something costs, because everything is direct deposit. Everything's swiping. Yeah. Like, is this purchase really worth 4 or 5 hours of your life? Is it that meaningful? Like, if you look at how much you make an hour and how long it will take you to actually purchase this thing, is it actually worth it? You know, when we really look at a lot of the things that we have, it's not really worth it. And so you have to decide, is that a good trade-off? Is there something else that I could be using that money for? And people don't think about the trade-off, because the want is such a bigger emotion than that being responsible. Being responsible feels boring.
Right.
Being responsible feels like, oh, I can do it another time.
Yeah.
Until there's a moment where that responsibility, every single person has a moment where they've used a credit card no matter what, and they purchased something, something has come up and you're like, dang, I could have used that money. And it went to something that wasn't important. Like, those times are absolutely going to happen. That's not a, well, it might. No, it will. And so, is this important enough? Does it mean enough for you to put yourself in this position where now you have 6 or 7 minimum payments that you have to make on this item, or you just exchange 8 hours of your life to get this thing that you really don't even want? Like, you want it, but you don't need it.
Right. And I want to go back to something that you said. You mentioned not using the credit card for every single thing. Use it for the big purchases, the things that you can absolutely account for. And I will say, that is great advice, guys.
Yeah.
Because if you are out and you see an ice cream, oh, swipe it. Oh, I want to go to Chick-fil-A, swipe it. Before you know it, you have already swiped that credit card so many times. And you're not necessarily, especially if you don't have a budget in place where you are taking track of what you're spending. And okay, I knew I budgeted for ice cream and entertainment for this week. Are you keeping track of how much you're spending? And are you keeping track of what you're putting on your actual credit card?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't do that. They're just swiping, swiping, swiping. And before you know it, you're over your 30% limit. You also do not have enough money in your debit card to transfer over because, as Ashley said, life happens. You may end up in a situation where you need a new tire, and now the money that you'd initially planned to transfer over to your credit card, you can't do that because you weren't even separating your accounts in the way that we spoke about last week.
Yeah, absolutely. It all plays into one another. And I think, like, we get used to just looking at one part. You know, like, people are always like, well, that just seems like so much work. Is it so much work, or is it that I know what I owe on my accounts, what my balances are, and, like, I know all of these things. And because I know these things, it means that I have to hold myself accountable to another degree when it comes to spending my money, because I can't just spend the money that way. I have to be thinking about where it's going to come from, because it has to come from someplace eventually.
Yes. Awesome. All right, guys. So this has been extremely insightful. I know we've touched on multiple different areas of credit card use. I know there's still a lot more that we can learn, but we will consider in the future diving into specific areas of credit card. But this has been incredibly insightful. But Ashley, you know, before we wrap up, I have to do the quick fire round for some final thoughts. All right. What's one credit card perk everyone should take advantage of?
Okay, I'm going to say two, but, like, choose the best one that works for you. So I would always say a cashback card if possible, right? Like, absolutely get money back if you can. But if you are someone who likes to travel, I say find loyalty to one brand. I have the American Express Hilton card. Hands down, love it. I automatically get gold status whenever I am a Hilton Honors member, which, like, pays off because then I get, like, cash for food or drinks each day, depending on the property that I'm going to. But in addition to that, I get lounge access, and that is across the world. And so I went to Curacao with friends. We were all in the lounge hours before our flight, drinking and eating and charging our phones. And, like, not being out in all of the foolishness in the regular airport. Even doing that in South Africa and, like, having a place where we can go take a shower and change our clothes and just relax. So find the thing that is most important to you. Even if you're not there and you love Amazon, get the Amazon credit card. 5% cash back on your Amazon purchases. For as much as people shop on Amazon, you should absolutely be taking advantage of 5% cash back on your purchases with Amazon for that card, hands down.
Yes, I love my Amazon card. Absolutely love it. But I need to do something about getting that lounge access. I still don't have that. So
yeah,
that's something for me to consider. I think I know where you stand with this one, but
Cash
or credit card? What's your go-to for daily purchase?
If you have the discipline, I'm absolutely going to use a credit card just for the protections. Like even with gas, like I got gas the other week and they put a $200 hold on my account. And so, you know, like I like knowing that if something goes wrong, my credit card company is going to handle it and it hasn't impacted my actual banking account. But if it's like real time and I'm having to make a purchase and I have the cash versus the card, I probably still do the card and then just go ahead and make the payment because I want the perks.
Right. And that credit card protection is no joke, guys. I've been a victim of credit card fraud before, where someone used my card to purchase an almost $2,000 ticket to France.
Wow.
Yes. And I was able to get my money back from the credit card company without, you know, they did their investigation. So you can't just go ahead and purchase things with a credit card and pretend it as if it's not you. But once it's a purchase that you didn't do, you stand a chance of getting back your money because of the credit card protection. So that's great.
Yeah.
And I know I asked you last week about a good book, but I'm going to ask again for one that is finance related. Any recommendation for the listeners?
You know, I think if we're talking foundational, I would maybe go with Happy Money.
Okay.
It is about like the feelings and emotions that we have around money and how we can come from a really positive place around it. So okay. I would say Happy Money.
All right. Go get that Happy Money book, guys. And the last one. What's one quick piece of advice you'd give to someone just getting started? And also, anything that we have not touched on that you think is important for the listeners to know?
So I would say, like, just starting off, start with one credit card. Like, you don't need multiple cards. You don't start with one card. Prove that you can manage that. And then, like, when you're ready, get another card. Things that we didn't touch on that would be really beneficial for listeners to know. So I would say two things. First, if you are ever in a card where you feel like I just can't keep up with this, call your credit card company and ask if you can downgrade your credit card. Most people don't know you can do that. If you have one where your annual fee is like $150, they might be able to downgrade you to a free version or one where there's only a $99 annual fee. And that could be beneficial. You know, you're not going to have the same perks, but you can still keep your card history, the longevity, all of that, and just have a cheaper fee.
Yeah.
And then one of the things that I did where if you're in debt or you are uncomfortable managing your credit cards, like before you take this step, like make sure you can trust yourself. But one of the things that I do is I request a credit limit increase every 6 months. And it is so that, again, your overall credit limit is growing. But you should absolutely be doing this where they're not applying for a hard inquiry. So this is why my credit is frozen, so that when I make those attempts, if I'm at a place where I can't do that with a credit card company, they'll be like, oh, we need more information. We're going to send you a letter in the mail. I already know that means I'm not approved. But if I am, it's going to happen right there. And so, you know, if you are like trying to find a way to improve your credit score, you're not in a position where you can get your debt down as quickly as you'd like to, consider increasing your credit score. It does not mean use your credit card for this additional credit limit. You're trying to give yourself breathing room on the other end so that you're pushing down your utilization. So those are absolutely two things that I would highly recommend.
I love that. And that's very good information, very insightful, very valuable. So take into consideration those tips, guys. Well, thank you so much, Ashley.
Yeah.
Again, I really enjoy having these conversations with you. I think
absolutely
the advice, the tips, they're all invaluable information. Guys, Ashley, she's right here. But tell her if you need further information. Reach out to her. Ashley, what's the contact information again?
Yeah, you can go to makingmoneymatter.org. You can go to at makingmoneymatter LLC across social media, or send me an email, makingmoneymatter@gmail.com.
All right, there you have it. So I know it's very easy to overlook the details and end up with credit card debt without even realizing it. But I hope this episode has helped you, our listeners, gain a new perspective on using credit card wisely. If you enjoyed today's discussion, be sure to check out last week's episode on budgeting and savings. It ties in perfectly, believe it. And remember, managing your finances is a journey. So take it one step at a time. You don't have to be perfect, but you just have to start doing it. Thanks again for tuning in to The Blueprint. Until next time, see you. It's a wrap.
Wake up to a dawn that whispers hope. Chasing dreams with heart and scope. Unique, it guides us through the strife. Building blocks of a better life. Money flows like rivers, why? Budget smart, keep your pride. Entrepreneurial spirit high. Reach for stars. Touch.